listen. I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I've been everywhere, man.
Here we are. Here we are. My name is Taylor Leibman. It's Barnstorming PA, the primary palooza. Breaking news. We have a lot to cover. My name is Taylor Leibman. I used to work in politics, and now I do neighborhood revitalization. Although right now I'm speaking for myself, on behalf of myself. You know him. You love him. Jordy Comas. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much, Taylor. I'd love to be here. You're really good at having a consistent intro, and I'm bad at it. But, you know, used to be a professor of management, used to be a chef, still on my borough city council. I'm repping my Union County Democrats t-shirt from my county, Union County.
What else did you used to be?
So many things. We're not going to do that. I'm a bit of a male Daenerys Targaryen without the dragons in terms of numbers of titles. Not worth reviewing. Yeah. We have a huge number of guests and friends, some for the first time, some meeting each other. We'll call on you and, you know, feel free to say a little bit about yourself. And then we'll go to the breaking news. Is that right, Taylor?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay. So Terrain, you're up.
Hello, I'm Terrain Myricks, a host of Alcoholitics, a show where we have some drinks and talk about the state of politics. It's nice to thank you for having me, and it's nice to be here.
Returning champion, Terrain, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for being here.
Yes. Terrain's close to a three-peat.
Honestly, check out, if there are, like, I would love for everyone to check out Alcoholitics, but if you really want to check out an episode, we did a live episode where we watched ads and reacted to them with the great Taylor Leibman, and it was lovely and very, very fun. And
it was really fun. I was so tired at the end. It was a lot of commentary.
It was so much. We watched so many ads.
We watched like seriously 9 or 10 ads.
It was a lot.
All right. First on the show, after too long of an interregnum, after the first time I met him, Joey Ola.
Hey guys, I'm Joey. Thank you for having me. Again, it has been a while since we first met and also talked, and a really long time since we've seen in person. I'm a recent college graduate. I meet on the Daily Item Community Advisory Board. We talk about local issues. I had a YouTube channel with around like 5,000 subs. That's all burnt and obliterated right now. It's all hidden in my vault. Maybe I'll unleash a video someday, but right now I'm looking for actual employment in the real world. So I'm taking a backseat on the media escape right now. But thank you for having me.
Yeah, you had an internship in Harrisburg, is that right?
Yeah, I got to work with the Democratic side in the state capitol, and that was super, super duper fun. I'm looking forward to being back there. Probably my favorite experience working in politics so far.
I mean,
congratulations.
Yeah, this is, this may be, you know, too much Dr. Obvious, but I think there are some races in Pennsylvania this year where you might be able to find a job.
Yeah, it's difficult. I'm still going to be going for my master's next year too. So that's a little bit of a scheduling conflict, but I'm trying to find some spots.
We'll talk offline about timing and graduate degrees. All right. Next, Jess.
Hi everyone. I feel like it's been a while since I've been on. So I'm just excited. It's been a minute. Jess Britton, currently, I'm the organizing director for Action Together NEPA. Yay. I'm not speaking in that capacity right now because I don't want to get fired from a new job. But just happy to be here, returning champion for sure, and excited to talk to everybody tonight.
And then finally up, Jenna Henry. Welcome to the show. Well, not finally, but one more guest.
Hello, everybody. Been here a few times before. It's always a great time. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm particularly excited about this one because everybody else in my life is really sick of hearing me rant about the primaries. So you guys get to hear it now instead. I guess I should kind of introduce myself. I'm the organizing director with an organization called the Penn Franchise Project. It is a brand new organization. We are right now focused on getting some policies in place to allow people to vote from jail who are eligible to vote. And we are also building a training program to train people impacted by the criminal justice system to be organizers. Be on the lookout for more information on that later.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And then lastly, Dr. David Lightman, who's gonna no relation, just kidding, he's my dad. He's going to first up, he's going to explain to us this breaking development with John Fetterman, so gonna get a medical doctor's perspective on this. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to it. I want to say first off that I'm an eye doctor and not a heart specialist, or a neurologist, but I will do my best to explain what I know about what's going on with John Fetterman. I'm an eye doctor, and I'm best known in the community as Taylor's dad.
So sweet. All right, excellent. Well, it's a pleasure having all of y'all on. This is our primary palooza. It's a very exciting big show. The last chance for us to rant and rave about all of these elections happening that have consumed our lives for really the last year and a half. And so this is kind of a fun show, and maybe a bit of a farewell show, really, to this this chapter of Pennsylvania politics. Just a little bit of housekeeping, and then we'll get to the show. First of all, Jordy and I want to thank all of our Patreon supporters from the bottom of our heart: Leisha Johnson Harvey, Sam Pearson, Mary Zimmerman, and to everybody that has given as a one-time donation. Thank you guys so much. Even though we're just talking, it's not for free. It costs things. And thank you all to everybody that supports us. Really quick.
Hey, Taylor. Sorry. We also want to thank, sometimes people are patrons and for whatever reason that they can't continue. So we also want to extend a thank you to our past patrons, even if they happen to be in this group of people on this call.
Yes, exactly.
Listen. My debit card got hacked like a month ago, and supporting you two doofuses was not on the highest of my priorities when I had to go in and fix everything with the new card.
We were touched that list.
We were hurt.
We're hurt. It's weird because, like, I didn't remember you ever reaching out when I signed up to be a patron.
Okay, so moving right along, Taylor.
Moving right along. So, heartfelt thank you. We also have. Wait, can you guys see my screen?
No. Oops. I did hear I heard the little blip sound of a new. There it is. Now we can.
Ah, okay. You guys can see all this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so this is our shop, our new shop. Like to draw your attention to two things. One, the Elected Democrats hex mug for $20 here. So nice. And then also our top seller, the cannabis hex mug here. Support the show.
It's popular in California.
It is popular in California, actually.
Can I ask some product questions?
Yes.
What is the size of these mugs? Are these the little tiny, like, garbage mugs, like the little ones? Are they like
these? We have.
Taylor may have one.
There are 11 ounce cups.
I don't want one then.
What size dog can I fit in the mug?
And then for the Communism Man mug, it actually comes in 15 ounce as well.
See, I like the larger ones.
You like the larger ones?
Yeah.
I can actually turn that on. I just didn't know that people actually liked the 15-ounce mugs.
Who wants a little, like, 10, 11-ounce coffee mug? Like, that's just...
Well, if you're worried about drinking...
Who works in politics?
And wants the 11-ounce?
Yeah, like, what's wrong with that person? Jordy would use that straight
I work in politics and don't drink caffeine at all. Like, I can't. I'm, like, pretty much allergic to it. But
Jenna, you're a unicorn.
A nice herbal tea.
I also
Jenna.
Don't drink, so you know.
But a nice herbal tea, maybe.
I mean, some of them if they don't have caffeine, but yeah, it's hit or miss.
Yeah, no. I mean, the non caffeine. Yeah, chamomile.
Yeah, most herbal teas aren't caffeinated, but that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, Jordy and I will go back to the drawing board. Maybe we'll turn on that 15 ounce for. There's one. There's the Team Vapor.
Very nice. But, very
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, my dad is modeling. We have him at the house. Job. Yeah, we have him at the house. They're great. We were kind of in an unspoken mug shortage at the house. So this was needed. So if you're in the similar situation, check out barnsroom.org/shop and get your gear. Support the podcast, and also support other podcasts. Alcoholics, support your local podcast. That should be a bumper sticker right there.
Yeah,
Jola on YouTube, you can support him, and Alcoholics and other podcasts. So,
I think he said he deleted his whole YouTube.
You
can page.
You but search for it so that you, the YouTube algorithm knows.
You can still subscribe. You can still subscribe.
I mean, support my dead spirit,
Joey. You have heard of the Internet Wayback Machine, haven't you?
Yeah, but it's not the same as Googling something and having it thrown in your face, okay? Sure, it's not the same. If you really want to look for something, you can find it, but I don't want you to have to even think about it, okay? If you're trying to hire me, I was never there.
Yeah. clearly wise beyond his years.
I didn't even say anything bad. You know, it just annoys me because I don't want somebody asking me about something that I already corrected from 3 years ago. And then I have to explain myself again. Like, no, I don't think that anymore. So having stuff on the internet in general, like I cringe at my Facebook post from 5 years ago when I was a 17 or 18 year old. I don't want people to see that anymore because that's not me.
That's fair. I think we're slowly getting past that. You know, maybe Madison Cawthorn is a turning point for our culture.
That is the most optimistic thing I have ever heard.
Yeah, if Madison,
he's probably going to win tomorrow. Anyway, we should.
So thank you, Madison Cawthorn, is what I just heard Taylor say. Basically,
yeah.
Trail social media trailblazer Madison Cawthorn is a
cultural blazer,
an icon. And someone you should look forward to, like, and just try to be like, emulate. You should emulate Madison Cawthorn.
Yeah.
Well, and his digital footprint really, you know, demonstrates why we all need a right to privacy.
Yes.
Yep.
On that note, let's should move we... on. I think that's the only housekeeping we have.
Yeah.
Isn't that correct?
Yes. I mean, it's all we have time for. Is this the breaking?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do breaking news. We're going to do a quiz quickly on the latest Franklin and Marshall poll. Then we're going to do case 4. And that's last. We're going to have a bracket game. So welcome to the show. We'll start off. I was going down to dinner maybe like an hour ago. And my mom told me that John Fetterman had a stroke. And I was, you know, first of all, so sorry that happened. And, you know, I speak for everybody in saying that, like, wishing him the fullest recovery quickly and all the best to him and his family. You know, he's been a great lieutenant governor and, you know, has contributed a lot to politics in the state of Pennsylvania. There's an election on Tuesday. I at least had questions. So I asked my dad to come on and explain really what happened. So he'll maybe do like a quick summary of what happened to him given the based on the campaign announcement of it, and then open floor for all of us if we have any questions about it. So take it away.
Well, I don't know a lot about it other than what the campaign released, but apparently he was having symptoms on Friday and his wife suggested that he go to the hospital. He had some campaign events scheduled and he was feeling not well. So when he went to the hospital, apparently they discovered that, I guess, two things. Number one, he had atrial fibrillation. And number two, he had a stroke. Now, atrial fibrillation is a cause of strokes, which a stroke is where you have impaired blood flow to the brain. And the reason the atria are chambers of the heart, along with the ventricles, and there's a normal rhythm that the heart has where the impulse for the heart to beat starts in the atrium, then it goes to the ventricles, so that there's a a uniform flow of blood from the heart to the lungs, back to the heart, to the rest of the body. And if the atrium is not beating properly and it's not contracting properly, blood can stagnate in the atrium and then lead to clots, which can then go to other parts of the body, including the brain. So really what we know from the press release is that the doctors removed the blood clot that was causing the stroke. And it doesn't say a lot about it. There's really two ways that can be done. You can pass a catheter through the groin, through an artery that goes up to the brain, and then actually extract the clot in the brain through the artery. Or you can give a patient drugs that dissolve the blood clot. So it's not clear from the press release which one of these he had, but it sounds more like the clot was actually removed with a surgical procedure through the groin. Anyway, apparently he's had a full recovery. There was no permanent damage to the brain. His atrial fibrillation has been reversed, has been restored back to normal, what we call normal sinus rhythm, so that the blood, the heart is pumping properly. We don't know how that was done. It could be done medically. It could be done with like a shock treatment to the heart. But anyway, it sounds like he has a great prognosis and should have a full recovery with no permanent sequelae. That's about all I know about it.
Great. And this is fairly common, you said?
It's common. It gets, atrial fibrillation is more common as you get older. It's rare below the age of 50, but after up to around the age of 80, about 5% or 6% of people have atrial fibrillation. So it's a very common arrhythmia that's sometimes treated with just anticoagulation to prevent blood clots. Any other questions?
Yeah. So, how frequent is, or, you know, can you say anything about the frequency of like a total recovery doesn't signal much?
Well, apparently from the press release, it sounded like he's doing extremely well with no, you know, brain damage. And, if his atrial fibrillation is, taken care of, then he really shouldn't have any more problems.
Okay.
Let's hope so. He's a good guy. He's done a lot for the site.
Of course. And I think it's also worth noting that was the most calm, rational, reasonable expertise ever delivered on this platform.
Yeah.
I made it all up. I'm an eye doctor. What can I say?
I mean, I'm a doctor of philosophy and I don't really know much about philosophy. So there you go.
Yeah. There we go.
Cool. Does anybody have any questions about it?
Well, thank you for asking me to say a few words.
I was hoping you'd have some funny story about Taylor when he was, you know, butt naked running around the yard, but we'll have to save that for another one.
Yeah, we can have another podcast on that.
Forget the primary wrap-up. Let's just go right to that. There is a funny story.
No, well, thank you so much.
You heard it here first. Look out for the Taylor running around nude episode.
No, it's going to drop.
It's going to drop in your feeds sometime in the next couple of weeks. Just look out for it.
I might have to pull a Joey Ola here. you're gonna get
Taylor exposed, and I'm excited for this.
Literally.
I think he was already exposed, but you know, it's a double exposure. All right, what's next? Quiz.
We're doing the Franklin and Marshall quiz. Yes.
Okay, so Well, I should probably steer away from qualifiers and disclaimers. It may not be as fun as some of our quizzes, but hopefully it's informative. That's all I'll say. So let's see. You have to keep track of your own points. And some of the questions, I think maybe, Taylor, I may have to I was thinking like if people may – well, no, I guess everybody can answer. But as usual, it's honor system. You have to keep track of your own points. A couple of the questions are a little bit kind of
still waiting for that whiteboard, Jess.
Yeah, we need to figure out how to add that. Price is Right.
I did promise to get you guys a scoreboard.
Yeah, like kind of Price is Right style where you have to guess an amount, but you don't want to go over. Does everybody understand the rules of that?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. So here's the first question.
Puppy.
Love it.
Oh, I went away to the quiz.
Puppy. Okay.
Now that's Clayton. That's Taylor's mom. Taylor, you better shut this down. There's going to be a lot of funny stories.
This is the best barnstorming ever.
Clayton is bye-bye. Clayton's probably going to quiz me about whether that's Tonka or Zoe because I'm really bad at identifying the two delightful Lightman corgis. Was that Tonka or Zoe?
I think that was Zoe.
I think you don't even know.
They look very similar.
Oh, now you say that. You let your parents like beat me up for like 10 minutes for not knowing the difference.
I wasn't there for that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. All right. So here's the first question. So some of these are from the Franklin and Marshall. Some of them are from Jordy geeking out at voter registration statistics. Okay. So in Pennsylvania, as of the most recent Department of State voter registration numbers, which party has the most registered voters and by how many? So you might want to jot down that number by how many. We need to work on a lot of things on the production side. We need some music. Has everybody got their number? So I'll say 1 point for the correct party, and we're going to go 3 points for being the closest on the number because that's harder. Everybody ready? Taylor, what you got?
So, I have Democrats by 200,000.
Okay. Terrain.
I have Democrats by 124,000.
Okay. Oops. Oh, that was bad.
This is cool. I like this.
Well, I realized I needed more light. Jenna.
So I have Democrats. I actually thought it was higher. I think it's closer to 300,000.
Okay. Remember, it's the closest without going over. Jess.
I feel like it's higher too. I'm going to go Dems by 500,000.
Okay. Joey.
Libertarians.
That's right.
Point.
The only real party.
That's bad. Yes. And by what amount, Joey?
About two.
Yeah. The answer is Democrats by 530,000.
Oh, damn.
Whoa. I believe that Jess was right.
I was going to say, 450, and you two with your low answers made me second guess myself.
Here's the thing. I wrote down 124, and then as it was going, I'm like, I should change that one to a four and make it 424. And then I had to answer second. So
that's a bummer. I like that you went 124. Like, I like there's like such a Price is Right psychology strategy going on there.
I know that there's a point to like, I know there's going to be a point to like these numbers and why what the importance is, but like, let's be clear. I want to win and I want to win now.
Oh yeah. Same. But so, I don't want to win by beating Jenna. I mostly want to beat Terrain and Jordy.
Well, I'm not even playing. Cause I'm
not playing. No. This is ridiculous.
Well, then so, I automatically
mostly Terrain.
You automatically beat Jordy.
Yeah, exactly.
Win. That's just a default.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Well,
have
he's really not in the game.
Yeah. Plus, I have an extraordinarily bad record. I'm going to say now that for some stupid reason, my computer is at 4%. And I'm not really sure why it's not charging, Taylor. Like, it seems to like plugged in, but not charging. So if something happens, you got to take over. Okay, man.
Okay. Well, I don't have the quiz, so we'll just go on.
Well, then no, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. Since next question, since 2008, which party has seen more people switch into that party? For example, has the Libertarian seen more people switch into the Libertarian Party than other parties have seen switching into?
Through so raw party, numbers or percentage?
Raw numbers. So which party's had the most people switch into it and by what number? Does everybody understand the question?
Mm-hmm.
What? Got it. Just of any party, there were no caveats, right? Like of any party. Is he there?
I don't think he's there.
The I don't think he's there.
Game show host ever.
All right. Well, that concludes the game.
I win.
The winner is Terrain. And honestly, look, I got put into the middle. I won, and I just want to say, you know what? That was a fun game, and thank you guys for letting me play. I know it's hard. I know I show up and I just like straight up dunk on fools, but that's just the way it is. So like, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, should we honor the game and say what we thought and then just and then
I can't move on to the next thing. Completely understand the question.
I think he was saying.
I think I did, but I just wanted to make sure there were no like rules like, about
my
which
question
party
was talking about. When he said one switches to the other, my question was, is it like are we trying to guess the number of people that switched from one party to that prevailing party, or did he take the top two and subtract them and go from that? Like I was just trying to figure out that.
It's like there's a whole question about people just going to be registered as independents that makes me wonder. So do you have
is that even a party either?
It's not. That's why I'm like,
and without the
host, I need more information.
Without the host of the game, we are lost.
The system is broken down.
So everybody wins, I guess. Yeah.
I win. I had
actually chance. Actually Jess wins. Yeah, Jess wins.
Technically.
With 4 points.
Just saying.
Yeah. But we're doing honor system and I'm pretty sure I have 5 points.
Oh, there's Shorty.
I have 1,000 points.
Okay. We're just confused about your game. But do you want to explain it one more time?
Yeah.
We're still on question two.
So the question is, I believe, did anyone give an answer? The question was, which parties had more people come into it by raw numbers? So, for example, the Green Party has had plus 3,000 or plus 8,000 or whatever. So, which party has had more people come into it? I left this out. Key point, since 2008. Sorry. So
since 2008.
Yeah.
Oh. So,
that's a large number.
Yeah.
That changes things because I was just about to ask, like, wait, since when?
Well,
like,
that's
even year, even since 2016 is.
You know, Jenna, give yourself a point for knowing that there was some missing information.
What?
Well,
just handing out points willy nilly. What is that?
Jenna and I are tied.
Yeah. What?
I'm down. What? I'm down with
no.
That. Yep. The rest of them all, sorry.
Okay, so does anybody have an answer?
I don't really know what the question is.
I'm gonna say Dems plus like, so this is people who were one party and decided to switch to a different.
Let me start
one,
over.
Right?
Let me start over. Imagine there are buckets, and each bucket is the number of voters in a party.
Okay, yeah,
No. I love this bucket thing. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm gonna say the answer is Dems.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Dems plus 250,000.
Okay.
I'm going to say Republicans plus 100,000. 120,000.
Okay. I like that this is now starting to sound like bidding at an auction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joey, what you got? You gonna put in an offer?
No.
Listen, I told you my instincts about this kid and his content were spot on, right?
That's an option.
Terrain?
Well, hang on. I'll let Jess go first.
I still don't.
Did more Democrats become Republicans, more Republicans become Democrats, or something else? And by what number?
I don't know. By 1 million.
Okay. I will say
I don't know.
More,
I have no idea.
More Democrats became Republicans. And Taylor, what was the number you gave?
120.
By 121,000.
Okay.
Rain, I love how serious you're taking this.
Savage.
What a stark contrast.
I'm going last next time, okay?
It is
There are more people switched into the Republican Party by +778,000. So I think Terrain got it.
I got it right, and then I get the extra bonus points.
One for the party, and so total 4 points. If you said Republicans, you get 1 point.
There's a lot of Dems who are
now. I will also say
that makes sense. Yeah.
If you dig into it too, and we should maybe do this, that's total switching in. Mm-hmm. So actually, like, this is real geeking out. But Jenna, for example, there were more people from other parties into Dems than there were other parties into Republicans. So Dems are becoming Republicans, Greens and whatever are becoming Dems, but at a lower rate or a lower number than the Republicans, right? So a lot of Democrats becoming Republicans.
Can we just like move Ashley? On. Ashley actually won. If anyone,
no, she didn't.
Yep. Why isn't Ashley on the podcast?
I want Ashley to know she did not win. I'm sorry.
She's the winner.
Ashley's not on because she's would basically like it would obsolesce myself, you know. So
she's not on because
I'm it's the patriarchy. I'm worried about my position and it's fragile and I have to hold on to power.
Figures.
Ashley would be amazing. Ashley,
I tried.
Yeah. She'll be on any day now and she'll be amazing.
I'll start my own podcast. She's going to be on that.
Oh shit. No, don't give her ideas. Okay. Next question. Of the 8.7 million registered voters in Pennsylvania, what proportion do not get to participate in our closed primary system? In other words, of 8.7 million voters, what proportion, because they're not a D or an R, are basically shut out of participating in the primary system?
Are we going by like what percentage?
Yes, percentage. So, for example, 2 or 8 or 12 or 16.
Okay. And Terrain has to go first.
I will go first for sure. Because I know I'm going to get this wrong 100%.
8.7 million registered voters. What proportion as a percentage? For God's sakes, not as a fraction. Joey, I am expecting an answer from you, young man.
Whoa. Does he need to clean his room as well?
Patriarchy is alive and well.
Yeah. I was feeling it. It's gone now. Don't worry.
I'm going to say 9.2%.
Okay. Who's I'm going to go Taylor, or you want to go last? Okay. Jess, go ahead.
I'll go next. I think it is 12.6%.
Okay. Joey.
10.
Taylor.
32%.
Whoa. Interesting. Taylor, you're way wrong, man. That would mean a third of the electorate are independents or other parties. So
yeah,
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Because we're not beholden to anyone.
Well, you're totally wrong. It's 10.4%.
I'm beholden 10? To everyone.
Wait, did Jenna get to give a number?
Jenna
didn't even let Jenna go.
What the absolute
Jenna shit? Honor system, Jenna. What would you
patriarchy,
say?
Patriarchy.
I was gonna say higher than that. So okay. It's fine.
So what was 10? I think Joey said 10, didn't he?
Jenna, I think you had written down 10.4, right?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. This one is really fun. I think this is fun. Is this fun? Okay, don't answer that question. This is pretty fun, isn't it, Taylor?
You can't tell us not to answer the question and then immediately re-ask the question.
Yeah. Okay, between 2000 and 2020, right? So imagine all of those primaries between 2000 and 2020. That's a lot of primaries. Which was the year that had the highest primary turnout for Democrats and which year had the highest primary turnout for Republicans? Do you understand? So like in one year, the primary turnout for Democrats would have been 18 or 24 or 78 or some number.
Primary turnout.
So what year between 2000 and 2020? So it's going to be an even numbered year, had the highest turnout for Democrats. Which year had the highest turnout for Republicans? Bonus points if you can guess the percentage. Make sense? So, for example, an answer might be 2002 for Democrats, and the percentage was this, you know, X percent, 28 or 54 or 93. 93 is incorrect on any of them. Everybody understand?
There's a lot of parts to this question.
Yeah, restate that question one more time.
Between 2000 and 2020, in all of the primaries, for the Democrats, which year had the highest turnout, and what turnout was it? And what year had the highest turnout for Republicans, and what turnout was it?
And how are the points awarded in this?
One for the correct year, 3 for the percentage.
Okay,
percentage turnout.
And is that 1 for the correct year for each different party?
Yes, yes.
And then 3 total, for each different party.
Terrain, there's up to 8 points. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Anybody ready to go? The order does matter, doesn't it? Because of the strategy here. Do we need, Jenna?
I'm not going to take a stab at guessing percentages because, like, I have no fucking clue. But my guess is that the highest turnout for Democrats was 2008 and the highest turnout for Republicans was 2016.
Okay.
I'm going to also say those numbers.
Okay. 2008 for Democrats, 2016 for Republicans.
Yeah.
Jess, Terrain, yeah.
I will also say those. Actually, no, I'm going to say 2008 for Dems and 2010 for Republicans.
Okay. No one wants to give a percentage? You're just leaving these points on the table.
I think Dems in 2008, 34%, and Republicans in 2010 was 34%.
Okay.
I'm going to say 35% for both.
Damn!
Joey, yeah, you ready?
And I'm going to actually do 36.
Terrain, you just got Star Wars. You just got trash compacted, man.
It doesn't matter because my number is exactly right.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. Joey, how about you?
I'm going to copy the first two answers and say 78% for both.
78? Bold choice.
I like it. Combined.
Combined? Oh. No, you can't do that. No, that's disallowed.
Well, no, wait.
Yellow card.
That works.
No, it doesn't, because then it could be anything. It could be any combination of integers.
77 and 1.
Yeah. No, he's being far too clever. Get the clever one out of here. Jess?
Oh, God. I was hoping you'd forget that I hadn't answered. I do think it's 2008. I don't freaking know. I don't.
For Democrats.
I know.
Okay, just want to, you know, you can go.
Oh, wait. I'm going to change my answer and say it's 2004.
For okay? who?
For Democrats.
Were you Googling it just now?
No, I wasn't.
In trouble if you were. Okay.
I wasn't.
Jeff?
I do think 2010 probably makes the most sense. I don't want to copy Terrain, but I do think that makes the most sense.
And you want to throw a number out?
1,000%.
And Ashley participating here, 2008 for Dems, 39%. The correct answer is for Democrats, the highest turnout year was 2008. For Republicans, it was 2016.
Ah, you were right, yeah.
Really?
It was so late. It was a presidential year. It was so late.
It was done.
Is why I switched to 2010. That's why I switched.
Yeah, that's why I didn't think it was 16 at all. Yeah.
Ashley, showing her chops here. The turnout in 2008 was 56% of Democrats.
Mother, wait. Oh, damn it.
That doesn't actually seem like a lot to me.
It's still terrible. Yeah.
It's still
the turnout in 2016 for Republicans was 50%, 50. Mm. Now, I'm going to skip the next question because I feel like I've tested your patience. I will just tell you that the lowest turnout year for Republicans was 2014. And the lowest turnout year for Democrats was 2012. So those are both midterm elections, right? Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And the lowest turnout for Republicans, the lowest percentage in that year of 2014 was 14%. For Democrats in 2012, it was 17.5%. So Democrats turn out more than Republicans was one thing.
2012, yeah. But you said both were midterms. 2012 was presidential. Oops.
Correct.
That's Obama's reelection, though. The primary numbers would have been down.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I've got some more, but this is kind of taking a little while. Should we keep going, Taylor?
One more
from the Franklin and Marshall poll.
Yeah.
Did we get into it?
Were any?
Yeah, we did. All right, we'll do at least one. We'll do at least two for the Franklin Marshall. That one was from the Franklin Marshall poll because they had a whole chart of turnout over the years. And
you already got lost in the methodology.
Yeah. I hope this isn't too pedantic, but like I actually thought it was really important because people are talking about the primaries and blah 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 and this and that, and the turnout in the primaries makes a huge difference. And there's a huge range. Some years are very low. Some years are very high. So that was the method to my madness, for what it's worth, was just to highlight for ourselves and for our listeners that turnout varies a huge amount in primaries and there tends to be a certain amount of like inevitability about this person's a front runner or that person. But if the turnout's only 18 or 20 or 24%, front runner doesn't mean much. Like those kinds of elections can hinge on small numbers. Okay. So of the current three major primaries where there's contest, right? So the Democratic Senate, Republican governor. So of those three, one of them has more voters in the Franklin Marshall poll who said that they were undecided. Right. So if you know, might be 20, 30, 50, 60%. So this is basically a measure of which of those primaries has more of its primary voters who are still undecided. Is it the Democratic Senate, Republican governor, or Republican Senate? I'm going to make this 2 points for correct.
I'm going to say Republican governor.
Okay, Republican governor. Taylor? Joey?
I agree.
Okay, mm-hmm. Jess?
I'm going... Oh.
I'm muted.
I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, I was like, wait, how can I hear her? She's muted.
Yeah, no, I want to. I want to be different, but I do think it's a Republican governor too.
Okay.
I think it's the Republican Senate.
Okay. Did everyone go?
Yeah. I think it's the Democratic Senate.
The correct answer is the Democratic Senate has 29% undecided. The Republican governor has 34% undecided. And the Republican Senate has 39% undecided. The Republican Senate. Jenna, I think you're the only one, right? Woo!
Do you think Jenna won the whole game.
Yay, Jenna. Mm-hmm.
What was your thinking, Jenna?
Oh, I mean, I've been paying attention to the Republican Senate primary. Haven't you? There's a...
I haven't actually the
whole Kathy Barnett thing sneaking up from behind and tying in the polls with Dr. Oz and the other carpetbagger
McCormick.
Yes, that one,
he wears vests.
And and so Kathy Barnett has come up from behind and is like, they're basically all three tied for first place, but there's this big percentage of undecideds. I've been kind of following that the last couple of days because I find it interesting that, the Republicans are now have a second Black candidate, possibly potentially statewide. They already got the first Black Auditor General, and now they are potentially going to nominate another Black candidate for a statewide office yet. But we keep hearing from Democrats whenever Black candidates try to run that it's people are too racist, but it doesn't seem to be a problem for the GOP.
Famously these days, a welcoming party.
I just want to take one moment to... And I just want to take one moment to say, if you've been listening to Alcoholitics at all, you were not surprised by the Kathy Barnett momentum. Literally, the last episode we put out was
Barnmentum, right?
Isn't it the Barnmentum? the Barnmentum or the Kathmentum, whatever you'd like to call it. We literally have been screaming like Kathy Barnett's not one to fool around with. She actually could win. And if she does, she's going to be someone that is not a layup. And I do love now that we see that she's getting national attention, including being criticized by both Joy Reid and Sean Hannity. It's very interesting. Just a weird alliance. Kathy Barnett makes strange bedfellows.
That is
stylistic. In my mind, a Mastriano Barnett ticket on the Republican side is our worst case scenario.
They had a rally today.
Worst case scenario.
Together.
They had a what today? What did they have?
They're rallying together, Mastriano.
Oh, rallying. I thought you said they had a row, like a fight. And I was like, what? I thought they were buddies. Okay, last question. This is from the history of the, this question is both the past and now, but in August of 2020, so just on the eve of the last presidential, Franklin and Marshall asked people, PA voters, if they were dissatisfied with the state's electoral procedures. That's the wording question. Are you dissatisfied with the state's electoral procedures? In August of 2020, 24%, about a quarter of the voters, said they were dissatisfied with the electoral procedures. What is the percentage in the most recent poll that said they were dissatisfied with electoral procedures?
You said it was 41% when?
24 in August 2020. Okay, so arbitrarily, I'm going to call on Taylor first.
I don't know.
I love this.
I love that I've just worn you guys down.
Yeah, we're just like, can we just not?
I can't do it anymore, man. There's no answer in which I surge to first place.
Joey?
I'm here as a spectator this round.
Oh my gosh. I'm disappointed in both of you. Terrain?
It was 24. I'm going to say that it jumped to 37.
Okay. Jess and then Jenna.
I'm going to say that it jumped to 38.
Jenna?
41.
52.
Here's the, oh my god,
I love that Terrain. I'm triggering you so much, but I can I offer a ray of hope, sort of?
Yeah, I mean, no. You can.
I can. I can offer it. But so you read that, and I think my first reaction was, oh my god, this is horrible, right? Everybody's, their brains have been pickled. But at the same time, I think the question is so vague that I think there could probably be a lot of Democrats or other people who are dissatisfied with the electoral procedures because they're upset about the threats to it or other things. Plug for canvassing. I hear that from people who are on our side. When they asked with people whether they wanted to eliminate drop boxes, 56% wanted to keep drop boxes. There was less than a majority to eliminate drop boxes, which doesn't really square with like all that dissatisfaction. So that's my ray of hope.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel any better, Terrain?
Yeah, it makes me feel a lot better. It makes more sense. It's one of those questions that like, it's sort of like the right track, wrong track question where both sides could be like, we're on the wrong track for the complete, like for completely different reasons.
Right. Right. So that's it. Where are the points? Who
Jenna wins.
Jenna wins.
I think Jenna wins.
I stopped.
Ashley came in second.
Okay. Yeah.
I stopped counting the points when I realized that there was a steal. And I honestly think we should stop the steal. I think we should have stopped counting the points a while ago and just award me the win.
I'm going to hire cyber ninjas to do an audit.
Joey, who only answered, I think, like a half a question.
Speaking of ninjas.
He probably won.
Yeah, I think based on the way this is gone, I think Joey won the game.
Yeah, I don't want cyber ninjas. I want cyber Shaolin monks. I want something better.
Don't we all, buddy? Don't we all?
Jenna, we'll have you pick out something from our store and we'll
don't get one of those 10-ounce mugs though. That's lame.
I'd also like to point out that I've never won a prize anytime I won.
Yeah. Listen, we've opened the goodie bag of merch. And now everybody, I wanted to talk to Taylor about this, but we'll just do it live because that always makes great content. I mean, I think all of the people on here should get a piece of merch just for being such great participants in the creative process.
Okay. I think I was already supposed to get one as a
patron,
and I never got it. So that's why I unsubscribed.
We'll chat offline, Jess, and tell us what you want. And we can maybe special order a 15-ounce.
No, 15 not interested ounce. Anymore.
We'll get offline, and then you reach out to Taylor, and you tell him what do you want, you really, really want.
I'm going to hold out for all alcoholics.
Did you just drop a song reference?
He definitely did.
Please put up what Ashley said. Please just let's move on to the next thing. But I love this.
All right.
You'll tell Taylor what I really, really want. Thank you.
Okay. Taylor, what's next?
Next, we're doing the case for, and then we're going to talk about, and this is the Democratic Senate, what have you. So we're going to do a quick case for each three candidates, and then we're going to talk about the salience of those arguments. And, What was on the agenda?
Oh,
yeah,
can we just do the haikus?
They didn't get written because I was out working for a certain organization all day.
We're gonna do the best arguments for really quickly, and then we're gonna talk about how salient they are, and then who is articulating the best.
I'll do my own merch plus
argument for the future of Pennsylvania, and then we're gonna close by making some quirky predictions.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So let me foreground that just now for a guest. So quirky predictions, like I this is something I borrowed from a soccer podcast I like, but it's like, you know, we could make a prediction about who's going to win, but we're more interested in a quirky prediction. So like it might be, you know, I'm going to throw this out. So it's now it's kind of a throwaway, but like Lou Barletta loses Hazleton. Right. Would be like a quirky prediction.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So it could be anything. It could be Democrat, Republican, any side, anything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. It could be, you know, a region, a county, you know, it's just whatever it is. Like when
I was, are they supposed to be serious or can they just be?
Yeah,
funny?
They should be. Either
the funniest one of all time.
Like at this point, either
Lou Barletta losing Hazelden would be pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, that would be very funny. That's one of mine. I'm going to think of another, but I like that one.
I like that too.
I mean, I actually don't have any idea if it's possible. I just think it would be awesome.
Yes,
anything's so possible.
Which case is the first?
I think we have you doing the case for Malcolm. But Dwayne was actually supposed to be on doing the case for John Fetterman. So if somebody else wants to do the case for Malcolm, then maybe you could do the case for Fetterman, Jordy.
Why don't I do, I can pinch it and maybe do both. I mean, Terrain has been on doing the case for Malcolm. So I thought it might be nice.
Yeah, we had a whole episode.
There was another spokesperson, but these are decisions we should have made before we hit live.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, here's the case for Malcolm and Terrain or anyone else if you want to add something.
I'm just going to do some work. Let me know if you need me for it.
Right. So the case for Malcolm, and I'm going to actually channel some thoughts from a rural progressive leader that I thought who is supporting Malcolm Kenyatta for Senate and made some good points. So one is when you look at who he is as a person and also where he's coming from in terms of Philly, he really represents the future of the Democratic Party in Pennsylvania. And especially for rural progressives, for him to have a stronger than predicted showing or to even win sends a really strong signal about how possible it is to have a statewide coalition that sees that somebody like Malcolm Kenyatta, who's like, he's like 22. I don't know. He's so young. My point is he's very young. He's charismatic. He's a black gay man from, you know, from who really lives and embodies the tradition in American politics of speaking about love and justice and bringing that charisma to the forefront. He puts working families squarely in the middle of all of his policies, his climate. You know, he talks about how climate, electoral reform, and healthcare reform are all like those three things, protecting democracy, are central to his agenda. And all of those actually, you can build a really good you can build a really good coalition in small cities and rural PA about those issues. I think he's already demonstrated a lot of political acumen in a really smart way. You know, being sort of knowing that Biden was going to be somebody who was going to win. He was very early out there supporting Biden when maybe other black progressives weren't so crazy about Biden. I think that speaks to his political instincts and his role in 2020, just kind of like both. And I mean this sincerely, right? Like I don't ding any ambitious politician for being ambitious, but so I think you can be ambitious and charismatic and brave at the same time. But his role in 2020 in causing a lot of disruption and good trouble in the Pennsylvania House around Black Lives Matter, you know, was both reflects his values, but also like his political skill and making sure that was like the timing was good and the way it was done, I think was smart. So those are all, I think, are good reasons. Anybody want to add anything?
Can I add here? Math. Okay. Math is very important when it comes to winning elections, and Democrats cannot win statewide in November without Black Philly showing up and showing up heavy. The best way to make sure we do that is to put one of their own at the top of the ticket.
If I could, I also, of the current Senate candidates running, we see that we are in a severely difficult decision right now in terms specifically of democracy. We have a right-wing Supreme Court that's actively, you know, made it so that Donald Trump was able to, we've had like, you know, the legislature making sure that Donald Trump can nominate three Supreme Court justices, even though like he lost the popular vote. The issues that we have. I think he's the only person that takes democracy reform seriously in a debate when asked who would potentially add seats to the Supreme Court. He was the only of the three main candidates who have a shot at winning this to say that he would do so. And the others, when asked why they wouldn't, said some nonsense like, we don't change the rules because we didn't win. We win. And also it's hard. He's the only one who is for not only for getting rid of the filibuster, which I believe they all are, but he is also for, abolishing the Electoral College and adding seats to the Supreme Court. The other candidates don't realize that that our democracy is in that dire of trouble.
Okay. Taylor, did you imagine moving on to the next one or kind of maybe more discussion about each one as we go along?
I was imagining we do each one and then open the floor.
Another thing I wanted to mention about Malcolm is which I thought was really cool. Like, one is he has the support of the Working Families Party in Philly, and I think they've done some really interesting work in Philly and in other places in terms of providing an electoral strategy outside of the Democratic Party that is valuable into itself and also pushes and kind of pioneers where the Democratic Party should go.
This will also receive the endorsement of the SEIU.
Yeah, that's a great point.
The SEIU carries a lot of weight with me personally.
Well, and he's gotten a lot of endorsements early, which, I think demonstrates an ability to work behind the scenes and get a lot of key organizational endorsements. The other thing is, I do think it's, I think something Jenna said was really important is, and I've said this before, but each candidate presents a different theory of the race and theory of winning. And his is very much rooted in the reality of how absolutely essential Philadelphia and the collar counties are and also other larger metropolitan areas. And you cannot win in Pennsylvania. And that's even more so one of the things from the quiz questions earlier that I lost sight of a little bit. But it is actually absolutely true that Democrats, compared to 20 and 30 years ago, have lost way more votes in places outside of in all the places outside of the Philly and the collar counties. So the importance of that is becoming more important over time. But what I wanted to say was, I think it was in the summer of 2020, there was a barn in Mifflin County that was burned down, and it had it was a pro Biden barn. And Malcolm Kenyatta was out there in support of these, and Mifflin County is tiny and has hardly any people in it, but he was out there very early saying, this is problematic, this might've been arson. And there were a lot of people in the area poo-pooing me like, no, it wasn't anything. And they investigated and it was arson and it was political arson directed at these people. So
it was a couple of high school kids.
Yeah. But they did say that they targeted the barn because of the Biden signs. So yeah. I just wanted to throw out that I think he's aware that his theory of the case is Philadelphia, and he also knows that, and he's committed to building power statewide. So, and that's important to me. Okay. Can we do Lam?
Sure. I can do Lam.
Good, since you're on the agenda doing him.
Yeah. I think Connor Lam is like high fiber breakfast cereal. Don't really like it.
Wow. But starting strong.
But yeah, it's he's won some really tough races, and I've taken a look at his policy. Jordy and I talked with him. He was on the podcast. I think he's got some really super solid ideas, policy wise, that are feasible. That's might not like it, but it's gonna be good. that's my case.
Okay. Can I ask you? I thought you were gonna say more. I thought you were gonna have more reasons you like him.
The thing that I prepared, which is what we had talked about, was like a 15-second the case for, and then we're going to talk about all of them. So that's all.
Oh, I see. So I screwed things.
So it's your fault. Yeah,
you guys spent 5 minutes on Malcolm Kenyatta, and I've only prepared this. But yeah, that's what I have.
Well, we've got a framing thing here. His theory of winning, we talked about Malcolm Gladys, his theory of winning is that you cannot win statewide in Pennsylvania unless you have pretty good, you have very good numbers in a lot of the legacy Democrat areas. And I think his personality and his campaign strategy are centered on that. So that's not really the, that's not a, an argument for him unless you agree that that is the most essential part of the election.
Connor has a lot of institutional support, though, too, you know, so like, even though, you know, like the Philadelphia Democratic Committee endorsed him, for example, and he has a lot of labor support. So, I mean, there, he has some good qualities. I mean, I personally am not going to vote for him, but I mean, I can see why people, some people would, you know, particularly in rural Pennsylvania. I think they see him as like a fighter.
I'll say also,
I got into some Twitter beef, you know, maybe like last week or something like that, because I said that Connor Lamb had the most, I guess, most comprehensive climate policy, and people really did not like that. But I stand by that. I think that's absolutely true.
It might be, he might like. He's very meticulous in detail. Like I will say this about Connor Lamb. I'm not, you know, again, like Jenna, I'm not voting for Connor Lamb in the primary. However, Connor Lamb, when you watch him in his statements and his interviews, and especially during those debates, Connor Lamb showed up prepared. Connor Lamb isn't just making shit up, and like he's not flustered when he delivers what he, the points that he makes. Some of the points that he makes are stupid and wrong, and I don't agree with them. But he is very confident and delivers with the poise of someone who knows what he's talking about.
I think
that's just true for him. His climate policy isn't as ambitious and progressive as it needs to be, but it's probably very well detailed. Like I would disagree with what you said.
I think it's actually more ambitious because he's actually the only person that talks about
than like, the other candidates.
Yeah, I think he is.
What's his position on a fracking moratorium?
Well, he's not for fracking moratorium, but
he's for expansion.
He's the only candidate that's talking about a wartime mobilization for wind and solar. And that's the most important for me. Like, not doing the wartime mobilization for wind and solar and then doing a fracking moratorium. Like one has to come before the other one, you know?
Here's something that impressed me about Connor Lamb. So in the Senate debate, they asked him about a gas tax holiday. And the first thing he said was, "I'm not in favor of it because we don't actually know if that we passed on to consumers." I was like, "Oh, that's a really good point. That's really smart." And then he pivoted and said, "So therefore we need to drill more." And I was like, or regulate the fossil fuel industry. So like,
so close, you know,
so close yet so far.
Right there.
Almost, not quite.
Yeah. So I want him, I want his policy chops, but I want him to have a better sense of strategic messaging and framing from really either Fetterman or Kenyatta. If I could we're not really doing that, but if I had a Frankenstein workshop.
And I think his fundamental problem was that like the whole idea is that you campaign in poetry and govern in prose.
Mm-hmm. He's got it backwards.
He's got it backwards. But also like his lane was like, you know, like he's running against two like unabashed progressives. So like, what is he going to do? And I've never really heard of a poetic case for moderation,
for pragmatism and centrism.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not like saying he's super centrist, but he's sort of centrist.
I don't know. That's my
okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely more centrist than the other candidates. So I think that's fair. Yeah. By a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll never
catch this guy flat-footed. You just won't. You're never gonna get into a debate with Connor Lamb and like get the edge in like specific knowledge. He will have a different opinion from you that is like you kind of wonder like you're telling me all of these things and then not getting to that one spot. But he is very knowledgeable about issues. He just is.
Yeah, and I mean, I am also of the opinion that like, the most progressive thing is the thing that we can actually do that like is going to pass and be implemented. Mm-hmm. And like, I do think that he's identified some like things that could reach consensus, and he is for abolishing the filibuster. Mm-hmm. And like, I think he has identified some ways to like deliver like real gains to working class people and like do like really good climate policy that could pass. And like, I don't know, like I am for a fracking moratorium, but I don't think that's going to pass the Senate, even if we undo the filibuster. Unfortunately, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we do have to note we are talking about the United States Senate. This is much different from the House of Representatives or at the state level. We're talking about institution that right now Democrats need to win by over 30 million voters in order to maintain even a split right now because of how we have crafted this to favor land over people. So it really is a bargain over power. Even if we do want, like, it's just hard. We have to find a good middle ground between pragmatism, progressivism, and where we could like do what we can here, because we're kind of in a really hard place.
I know what you mean by the 30 million, but can you explain that a little bit more, since earlier I said there are 8.7 million people in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. So like, for example, I saw a good graphic, Los Angeles, California.
We love graphic elements on our audio podcast. You're right. You're right in your lane. Yeah.
But you'll see like New York City and Los Angeles combined having a higher population than 30 states.
Right.
And you only have two senators per state, of course. If you look at electoral votes, I'm pretty sure the numbers were because of the Electoral College. If you live in California, your vote counts for 1/10 of what a vote counts for in like Montana, or it's like 1/100th or something crazy, because they have two senators for a very small population. Then California has two senators for a huge population. So for the presidency and the Electoral College, the Republican Party can lose by 10 million for the presidency and still have the president. They can lose by 30 million for the Senate and still hold the Senate. So we are in a very scary place with that.
This is what leads me to my catchphrase that has not caught on, which is unite the Dakotas, which literally were put in to have more free states to balance slave states.
You know, it wasn't 20 years ago that all four senators from the Dakotas were Democrats.
That's the kind of institutional history shift that you say that drives me crazy. Like, so what? So we should preserve the filibuster too, because maybe we'll need it someday?
No, it's just interesting.
No, I think he was just giving an interesting fact. Jordy,
you made a big leap.
Jordy,
there.
Are you okay? Hey, buddy, are you all right? Do you need to talk? Holy shit. Yeah, that's the kind of shit you say that makes me want to get you.
Can we shift this to like maybe a couples therapy situation between Jordy and Taylor? How you guys doing?
Yeah, let's do it live on Facebook.
We
had a really good
any
week.
Therapy session.
We fixed the ledger. We got some merch out. We got
we did,
through our
we did
backlog.
4 months of accounting.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Welcome all right. back to Talking Problems with Jordy and Taylor.
Please no.
Listen, like, it's better than the no. podcast that they were starting to do. So
maybe we should move on to Fetterman.
Yes. Does somebody want to give the case for Fetterman?
I will do a few. And I also wanted to say, full disclosure, no one on here needs to say, but like, I am undecided. A couple of us have been talking about who we're voting for. Like, this is partly to help me figure out what I'm going to do.
I'm still
big surprise. I'm not really leaning towards Conor Lamb.
It took me 20 minutes to decide whose petition to sign on petition size season. And I ended up signing for Malcolm, but I was just too quaking in my boots.
Mm-hmm. So Fetterman, I'll try and keep it closer to 15 seconds, Taylor. Sorry. Plus, he's gotten a lot of airtime generally. So, you know, everybody knows John Fetterman. I'm going to say, in a somewhat interesting way, parallel to Malcolm Kenyatta, runs on biography a lot. But instead of it being as much his personal biography, it's like his biography as being the mayor of Braddock. And he has a good track record of building a really clear and distinctive brand that, at least up to, you know, up to this cycle, I think for a lot of people resonates with a lot of authenticity. The Dickies shirts, the biography of his being tall, and having the tattoos on his arm of the murders in the town of Braddock. Hold off, people. There's some comments in the internal chat. You'll get a chance.
Ooh, when you're could you explain that one to me, please? When you're done, though.
Yeah. So, and on top of that, you know, he's got a current ad out that he was an early proponent of legalizing cannabis. He performed same-sex marriages when, as part of his duties as mayor, when he was Mayor Braddock, was early in the process. Jenna may correct me on this. I think he's been pretty good on using his role on the parole board to really push for a more
not the parole board.
Oh, sorry.
The pardon board.
The pardon board. To get that just. more cases going through, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He created basically an express lane for marijuana charges. I actually have a pardon application in right now because of the expedited program that he created.
Right. Let's see. I think, you know, his case of, I think it's interesting when Connor Lamb critiques him for being a progressive, because he himself defines himself as a progressive, but I think some of the positions he's taken out and his whole brand to me is about, he talks about a 67 county strategy. It's like taking progressive principles and making them closer to about sort of libertarian progressive ideas, right? Like we should be free. Like we should all be free to use cannabis, like get the government off of my back. And I think he does a good job of appealing to that. Whereas Malcolm Kenyatta is appealing more to a progressive framing. That's about what are the rights that people should have that they've been denied, or how do we fight for justice? So I don't think those have to be a trade-off. I just see it as sort of a difference in tone. So that's what I've got for the case for Fetterman.
I will say to start off, Fetterman also made an explicit appeal to his electability, particularly like winning back legacy Democrats and winning the lieutenant governor seat by quite a great deal.
I mean, yeah, but that so that's interesting, you know. So he, in a way, Fetterman is in Connor Lamb's lane about legacy Democrats, and then he's in Kenyatta's lane for being a progressive. So that's one way to look at this race. Joey, you got something for us? You were great on the 30 million.
I think it's just going to be a difficult battle. 4 years ago, I probably would have said go hardcore for Kenyatta, go for the most progressive candidate, and to move all the positions left. I don't think Connor Lamb has a chance to win. I think he's too refined for the current political climate, especially if his candidate's going to be someone who's not completely crazy. He's more of an anti-Trump candidate, but we might get that. We don't know yet on how they're going to run for that race. Maybe if he was against Mastriano for governor, it'd be a different story, because that is an explicitly crazy Trump candidate, and he could just be the other one from that.
Plus, it's veteran. It would be veteran versus veteran, and I think he would kick Mastriano's ass. As like this is the person I would fall into battle.
Yeah, Mastriano wouldn't really be able to use that. When it comes to policies, I'm actually happy, just as right now in this current political climate, I think the fracking message is going to be very tender on people's minds, especially if they can connect it back to heating costs and costs for gas and fuel in general. I don't think people are going to want to hear we need to completely get rid of this right now without a transitionary plan. And what was said about like Connor talking about we need a replacement strategy before getting rid of fossil fuels. That is true, especially for a lot of low income Pennsylvanians during the winter. Heating costs will rise if we did take away fracking 100% right now. That is something that would happen economically from that policy. So we do need a replacement strategy. I like the way that Fetterman, for electability concerns, backed off. I know Kenyatta nailed him on this, but I do like how Fetterman backed off on that, going too hardcore on it, because I think he still is good on that issue. And I think he'll be his vote during key votes in the Senate would be very useful for that.
I mean, we were kind of making the case for, but this is worth a little bit. I mean, I'll just, like, I don't mind being on the record again. I think John Fetterman has handled the incident in 2013 with pulling the gun on the jogger who's African-American. He's handled it terribly. It doesn't bode well for crisis communications in a general. You know, everybody wants to paint him as the front. Not everybody. He's running on being the front runner. And I'm like, this was such a, self-inflicted wound, right? Aside from something that I don't think I responded to maybe in the best way when Terrain was talking about this earlier. Like, this could have been for the person involved, not just a political blip, but like they could have been shot, and that's incredibly grave. So yeah, I mean, like if Fetterman's brand is like, hey, I'm smart and I'm good and I don't get owned by the conservatives, I'm like, you there were so many other 100 better ways to handle this, and you've picked none of them.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead. No, go ahead, Jenna.
I want to preface this by saying I would be more than happy with John Fetterman as our U.S. Senator, right? Like, what gets under my skin about the brand is that he went to Harvard and he has a trust fund. Mm-hmm. And he's not running as John, the guy who went to Harvard and has a trust fund. Mm-hmm. He's running as, you know, John, the blue collar working class guy that he's not. And I mean, I've even seen Facebook ads that promote him as coming from a working class background. And it's just not true. And it just gets under my skin, especially as like a working class person who works in politics and a working class woman. Like, I show my tattoos, I'm white trash, you know. John Fetterman shows his tattoos and he's edgy, you know, but it's not even, it's a persona, you know, and that kind of irritates me a little bit. But I do think that John Fetterman has very good intentions. He's progressive politics. He's done really great things with the Board of Pardons. So like, I'm not really going to hit him too hard on that, but it does kind of irk me just a little bit.
I really, as someone else, who's also from like a poor working class background, you know, entire family, poor working class, coal mining backgrounds, heart of coal township, tons of people suffering from the opioid epidemic, tons of suicides, tons of overdoses, tons of death in general from the lack of opportunity and all that stuff. All I care about at this point are outcomes. So if it takes him putting on a little costume to do that, then I think I'm pretty much okay with that. I might be a little bit annoyed. But honestly, if it works, it works. I see way worse people who never have to own up to that privileged background. At least he will talk about it a little bit, even if he's putting on this outfit. I'd rather him, like you said, get the stuff done, like for the marijuana and also for all these votes that we need, if he is the candidate. I agree, though, about the 2013 thing. He handled that terribly. He seems very strong in his convictions that he did nothing wrong. He said something about it. It might have been illegal, but he did nothing wrong. I wish he would just admit, like, okay, that was a really bad thing to do. If I could go back, I would not have done that the same. That's all he needed to say. But he kept on saying, like, oh, I'm so justified. This is something I felt was right at the time. And I guess it's hard. I was never mayor of a town that has one of the highest violent crime rates in the state or the country. So I don't know, in that time, place, whatever. It still looks really shitty no matter what.
No mayor solves a crime problem by strapping on us, you know, some six shooters.
No, I wish he would just own it.
Yeah. I agree with all of that.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jess.
No, I agree with that too. My feelings about that is like, he has consistently continued to dig in on that instead of just, that is, I would say, other than, you know, some people calling out, when I say some people, it's, hi, it's me, the fundraising emails of like, I wear shorts, I'm not a typical politician, I have tattoos, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, I get that that's the shtick and that's fine, whatever. I am a little concerned about the rapid response capabilities because I got a fundraising email from the Fetterman campaign totally not acknowledging any of what has gone on today right after we started this podcast. So, and it's just like, we've got a deadline, you know, the election's coming, and like, it's just so, like, what universe are you living in? Someone dropped the ball there. Like, that's just multiple people dropped the ball there, right? But I just think, you know, and I'm a Kenyatta supporter, have said that, you know, from the beginning. I would have also
the Penguins must have scored.
Something really good just happened in the Pens. Did they win? Y'all. I have no, they couldn't have won yet.
He sounded so happy.
He's so happy.
We're so like, ugh, politics.
I know, this has been brutal, and my husband is super excited about whatever just happened with the Pens. So go Pens. I'm a Flyers fan, but I can support. What was I going to say?
They just scored.
They just scored. Thanks, Jordy. Jordy, looking at the sports. It's excellent. I don't think we can underestimate, though, the power of the countywide tour regarding legalizing weed. And like the feedback that we got from that, the people that came out to hear an elected official and who identified then with an issue and shared a lot more, at least in my experience with what he did here in Columbia County, that is something that has bipartisan support, like really broad bipartisan mm-hmm. support. And it does touch on everything that we fight for as progressives. It is not just drug policy, which is super important. You know, Joey just mentioned the opioid epidemic. it's, you know, going, just going down that line, it's criminal justice, it's racial justice, it's, it then becomes about economic opportunity. It's about agriculture and farming. It's about healthcare. Like that, it's a huge, huge, whatever just happened in there was not as good. So sorry if you heard that. But it's massive, massive impact on healthcare policy. And like, I just think that that, I mean, I also would not have a problem supporting any of the candidates, but to me, that is one of the big selling points, because it wasn't just about weed. It was, it's not just about that. And it brought a lot of people into that conversation that probably wouldn't have had a chance to participate. So I just think that that's, that was like a powerful and really smart campaign decision, even though he was doing it in his capacity as the lieutenant governor.
Yeah, I just wanted to really quickly, so I know we're doing the case for Fetterman. So I will say, truly, based on, you know, his statements and what he has run on, I truly do think he would be a good senator. I think that he has the policy positions that would be beneficial for progressives in Pennsylvania and progressives across the nation. I think that he will walk in and get rid of the filibuster and make it so that we're able to, you know, if we win a couple more of these Senate seats and hold the ones that we need to hold, we'll be able to pass legislation that will make meaningful impacts to people's lives, which is truly, we talk about politics like it's a sport sometimes, but that is the main thing. That is the important thing, to get elect people who are going to make things in your life easier and make things better for you and your family. And I think that John Fetterman, if he becomes the senator from PA, will do those things. And I am going to vote for him if he gets the nomination. And I think everybody else should as well. Now, really quickly, I just want to point out a couple of things that really bother me about the 2013 incident where he held a gun at someone's chest. One, like has been said before, he said, "I may have done something illegal." That's a dumb thing to say. And that's a really bad thing to say. That's probably going to be put in a billion ads run against you by the other side. Two, you held up someone and then later on said, it's fine, because he was arrested 5 years later for a different crime, so it was okay to do that. No, it wasn't. That's not a good way to think. And three, the Republicans are this close, this fucking close to nominating Kathy Barnett to the Senate, to run for Senate. He's going to have to stand across from a very strong Black woman that's not going to allow him to just poo-poo this away. I think that Malcolm Kenyatta and Connor Lamb have been very good in debates when he is there, taking him to task for this issue, and he's been terrible at responding to it. Now imagine Kathy Barnett doing it. We're in a very, very bad situation if that's what occurs. So like, let's cross our fingers that it's not Kathy, but he will be a good senator if he wins. I'll leave it at that.
Well, we're at a key moment here. Which is brackets or no brackets? I
voted on that yesterday.
Yeah.
No offense, Taylor.
Let's not do the bracket games. We're at 120. Let's just do quirky predictions and leave it.
I'm just gonna say, every time Taylor makes me do one of these bracket games, I get so sad. They're always so depressing.
I'm so sorry.
This one was. Can we do a fun bracket sometimes?
Let's skip it. We've talked about the GOP enough,
have we?
Yeah.
No.
could we compromise and maybe just spend a minute or two on Kathy Barnett and
I mean, let's talk about Kathy Barnett.
Can we just for a second?
I mean, stylistically, I'm with her, but policy wise, of course, way not.
Kathy Barnett might be the most interesting politician to watch that Pennsylvania has ever produced. By the way, she's not from Pennsylvania, but like, right. I think it is honestly, like, I've watched Kathy Barnett in so many debates. I've watched Kathy Barnett's ads. I've watched Kathy Barnett speak to, and like, I think that policy-wise, she is a villain of villainous proportions. She is She will vote, make every bad vote you can possibly imagine. She will be so interesting to watch while doing it. And I'm really like hoping that like she loses and then there's a television show that she gets, because I kind of want to watch it. I want to be honest about that. Like if you, like I said, if you listen to the past like month of Alcoholics, we couldn't get through one episode without being like, you see what Kathy did today? like well, that's just the case.
As somebody who's not paid any attention to the Republican side, just because I don't have time.
Let me tell you one story about what she did in a debate that I think is insane. So she was in a debate, a five-person debate. The two main people, Oz and McCormick, didn't come. By the way, they were the two main people right at that time. She's now one of the main people. But she's in a debate. She now hates Carla Sands. Carla Sands is the former ambassador under the Trump administration. Denmark. And she
and the Faroe Islands.
Carla Sands keeps pointing out in engagements that Kathy Barnett's election wasn't stolen because she lost by 20 points. It's very, very funny and so true.
I've seen it and it is funny. Keep going.
So Kathy Barnett, they were just like a back and forth. And Kathy Barnett was like, I want to ask Carla. And then she noticed that there were three male candidates in between and between her and Carla Sands. She's like, excuse me. And had them move back, and they did. She had them step back from their podiums, and they were so they listened to her and moved. And then she asked Carla Sands a question. Literally only to do this. Carla Sands starts answering the question and she says, nah, it doesn't matter what you think. And then kept talking. Oh, No. She said, nobody cares what you think, and kept talking. And Carla stopped. Carla Sands just stopped talking. It was an amazing debate moment that I wish I could bottle and just drink and just feel that forever. It was insane.
Like, I'm not sure that's a thing you should ingest, but keep going.
She is someone who has the ability to create viral moments that can get her so much exposure and notoriety, as is seen by the fact that she's running second in a race she had no business being involved in at all. So Kathy Barnett's,
Here's the thing I want to say, though. So I have not followed this very closely, but I will say that, like, there's some dynamics that I feel like that I'm aware of, or some intra within the party struggles that aren't getting enough attention. She got a huge amount of money from the Club for Growth PAC. That's Toomey's PAC, right? I mean, Toomey was the president of the Club for Growth. And I saw a little bit about her that way back in, like, February, there was a straw poll of Republican leaders, and it was her and is it Bartos has also been running in that race? Is that the right race? But it was her and somebody else. So I feel like there's a huge amount of light and heat and around the media fight between McCormick and Oz. But, you know, her strength has been there in plain daylight all along.
Not all along. Club for Growth didn't endorse her until like 4 days ago.
Right. That's totally accurate. But so I'm sort of combining points. But part of what I'm saying is the Club for Growth, I think, sees her as a stalking horse because she's more MAGA-y than Oz. But Trump picked Oz because of the TV thing. So there's a proxy fight here about the soul of the Republican Party, it looks like to me, between the Club for Growth and the MAGA people. But the Club for Growth have their own MAGA person. So that's kind of, I just wanted to throw that out as an observation. Other people have anything to, I just wanted to gold star.
I've been screaming, so I'm going to let everybody else talk.
I think Jenna, one interesting topic, just really quick, when we talk about things like race and gender, I think like political junkies and people who spend a lot of time in academia and stuff, the way you look at race and gender is very complex and deep and like, you know, like intersectional and everything that we can discuss here. But it's very scary when we ingrain in the public that the only things that matter with race and gender are representation and that's it. Because then we can't have people coming up, like you said, a strong Black woman who might say vote against affordable housing or might vote against healthcare or might vote against these policies that'll help a lot of poor working class people, especially people of color. So we have this thing here where if Democrats argue against her versus like a Fetterman or a Connor, oh, why are you supporting these white men over this woman? But okay, but what about this Black woman? Well, what about the policies? You know, we have to go back to that, but it's going to be very difficult in people's minds because a lot of politics and voting is about identity and it is about like the feeling you get from the person, not necessarily what they're going to vote on 2 years later. So it's really difficult.
Yeah, I think you hit on something really important right there, because like I think a lot of times political people can forget that regular people don't vote the same way that we do. Like we look at like people's policies and what's their voting record and all these things. Regular people vote based on their feelings and that's it. I ran a campaign in 2018 against Kerry Benninghoff, worst legislator ever. Nobody cares because he went to their yard sale. He got their grandma their social security check. He gave their son his Eagle Scout, you know, award or whatever. And they're voting for him every time, no matter what. It doesn't matter how awful he is because they like him. He makes them feel good whenever he talks to them. And that's it. That's what they care about.
Yeah.
And I want to just be very clear. I'm not like when I talk about Kathy, it sounds like I'm gushing. I know I said this in like literally I recorded a podcast like yesterday. And I'm like, when we were talking about her, like me and my partner, when we talk about her, I'm like, it sounds like we're gushing and we're not, sort of. Like I truly think that she is she would be a very, very, very bad senator. That said, I think that she has the charisma to get people excited. And when it comes specifically to Fetterman, which is what I was referring to earlier, when it comes specifically to Fetterman, like we don't like to, I know some like identity politics is a thing that gets like, cringy and not fun to talk about, but it is different standing next to like a Dave McCormick, when talking about, you know, Fetterman's issue in 2013, than it will be for Kathy Barnett. That's just wholly true based on that. I do agree with what you said. I just want to make sure I was clear about what I was getting at.
Okay. Fun. Predictions? I'll go first. I think Lou Barletta will lose Hazleton.
I want to go next.
Okay, Jess.
Jake Corman wins the GOP gubernatorial primary.
May it be so. May it be so.
He's not even going to win his hometown.
Epic dunk on himself after dropping out of the race.
Didn't he enter and exit at least twice this race?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's been in and out. He's like a cat. Yes.
Yeah. He's like, cool. I left, but then I talked to Trump, and Trump didn't endorse me, but was like, cool with me still being in, so I jumped back in.
Should we kind of like, do other people have them? Yeah,
Taylor. I think John Fetterman's gonna win 67 counties.
What? Okay. Oh, I can't wait. I'm gonna call you out on that so hard.
We're gonna write these down and revisit them.
I actually okay. do have one. Mine's gonna be harder to check, but
okay.
My prediction is that within the next decade, we will find out that Sean Gale and Joe Gale are the same person. And one is just one like puts on a fake mustache and then goes to the Senate debates and then they rip it off and run over to the gubernatorial debates. They're the same person. Jess knows I have weird twin stuff.
Listen, he does. We're just gonna let it go. We're gonna let it go.
10 years, you'll find it. 10 years. 10 years, the Gale brothers, I don't even know if they're twins, honestly, but the Gale brothers, they're the same person.
But at least, like, the other thing, like, they are twins, but anyway, we're not going to get into that.
I got one.
They're the same person.
Brian Sims wins the lieutenant governor's primary.
Let's go. Huskies. Husky up. Let's go.
I forgot. This is this great story about him.
Husky power, strong on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. He was the captain of his football team at Bloomsburg. Let's see where the Bloomsburg. And he came out to his teammates in 2000 or something like that. And they were like super supportive. Like, it's just this great, like, feel good story. And he would also be the first civil rights attorney to be the head of the Board of Pardons, which would be pretty awesome. I'm going to say that I had one. Wait, Joey, do you have one?
Yeah, I think that in total, the Democrats are going to win the Senate by about 40 million votes and have a 10-seat deficit. They're going to have a big minority throughout all government. We're going to win by a lot of votes and lose a lot of power. It's going to be awesome.
We said quirky, not realistic.
Oh.
Yeah, why aren't you pretending that two people are the same person?
Plus, we don't pay attention to other states. You're too educated and smart. We just meant in Pennsylvania. But I mean, I hear you for the whole country. But do you have any quirky predictions after the
Oz
primary?
Dr. Oz, I think we're not going to have any elections. I think it's all going to be stolen by the Antifa.
I think Dr. Oz is going to come in third.
Okay.
I think if Dr. Oz does not win this primary, you will never see him in a flannel again.
Oh.
He put that flannel on because he's trying to win a fucking primary.
You'll never see him in Pennsylvania again.
He went to a Redner's and called it Wegner's because he just does not know what Pennsylvania is as a thing at all.
The best thing I saw about Dr. Oz was that he can't run for Senate unless he can name Pennsylvania's two most famous groundhogs.
Oh my god. Did anyone ask him to do it?
It was like a thing I saw on Twitter. I hope so.
Because that would be amazing. Because what a great litmus only test.
You have to be from Pennsylvania to even understand it. What does it even mean? Only if you're from Pennsylvania.
You've never been sitting and watching Jeopardy and then a lottery commercial came on. Yeah. Never. You just don't do it. You don't have the stuff for it.
Jenna, that might have just made my day. That was great.
I think that whoever wins the gubernatorial GOP gubernatorial side, they will wear a lot of vests in the fall.
Oh, I don't think there's a whoever. It's going to be Mastriano.
Yeah.
There's no question. I think it's going to be Mastriano by a mile. Barletta's
let's put it this way.
Here's one quirky prediction. I think that Mastriano is going to have at least one political advertisement where he's cosplaying as a Revolutionary War soldier.
Oh, he probably is because he has a 3 in history.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about, aside from the thing that really irks me about him is he's a plagiarist.
Yep, that's the biggest problem.
That's, I think, the biggest problem, and I'm pretty sure I watched him during debate say that he has no exceptions for abortion. But plagiarism, I think, is my
He did say that, Terrain. Yeah. And I want you to know, Terrain, I've been working on my Doug Mastriano impersonation, and it goes kind of something like this, because we're going to get together, and we're going to run real well, we're going to run for freedom.
Thank you so much for coming to Barnstorming, and it's been a pleasure.
That wasn't bad, right? That wasn't bad?
What happened?
Was that okay?
Yeah. That
was the least convincing
someone say something
I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Least.
All right. How can people catch y'all on catch your hot takes on politics and keep up with your work?
I'll go. You got to throw it to somebody, Taylor.
Yeah, I know.
You can find me on all the things at Ms. Britton 524. And just follow Action Together because we blast out lots of great stuff.
Great.
I'll kick it to Jenna.
Yeah. I guess you could check out the Penn Franchise website. It's Penn Franchise Project. Hold on, let me remember how to talk real quick. Penn Franchise Project. .org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter. We're working on getting an Instagram set up. We don't have a ton there quite yet, but give us a follow. That should all be updated very soon. We're going to be doing some cool stuff, so be on the lookout.
Excellent. Terrain.
You can find me on Twitter at Terrain Myrix. You can find my podcast, Alcoholitics, everywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, where you can listen to my partner and I talk about politics and the weird renovations that are happening at our home. So feel free to join and listen and be part of our family.
All right.
Go Mavs. Sorry.
You can find me at Taylor M. Lightman on Twitter, and that's probably the best place. And of course the podcast, but if you're already listening to it, probably know how to get there.
You can find me in most, I've been doing a tour of all the great taquerias in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton as part of my job for Action Together. So
can confirm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oops. I shouldn't have posted that to the group Slack, the work Slack. But there are some great ones. I actually talked to a guy today who's going to get some grasshoppers and make traditional Mexican, I think, chipilinas, grasshopper.
You should have an Instagram account just about that.
Yes. I need to spend more time on social media. That's a good idea.
That would be helpful. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Jenna and to Rain and Jess. The show would be just me and Taylor bitching at each other if you guys weren't here to make it interesting. Also thanks to Joey, who maybe had to hop off. I'm not quite sure what happened, or the NSA caught up with him.
Also, thanks to Dr. David.
David. Yes.
For the information, but also puppies. So more pet content, I say. I don't know where Sammy is.
Oh, I have one more prediction. I think that Democratic
of course you do.
I'm just curious. Do you all think that I think that Democratic turnout will be 48%
in the primary?
48%? No.
What do you think would be driving that?
The Austin Davis, Brian Sims, you know, race people.
I don't think it's going to be that high. I mean, I think it's going to vary in different parts of the state.
Well,
but
vary a lot by house races.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
My prediction is that you'll find out that Bill McSwain was a ghost this whole time.
Terrain, I've also been working on the right to my Bill McSwain nation. Oh boy.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye, theater kids. The valley's fair, man. I be the mountain air, man. Travel ever had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Belfont, Southmont, Westmont, Mumbles, North, Nordmont, Dormont, Lebanon, Holmes, Wharf, Cedar Springs, Boeing Springs, Chess Springs, Centerbridge, Centersport, Leesport, Williamsport, Brackenridge, Lumber City, Central City, Lake City, Clearfield, Westfield, Wentfield, Richfield, big deal. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed the valley's fair, man. I be the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been